You are listening to Prodigal Sermons. Today we're going to address something that I believe needs to be addressed with in the spirit of graduation season with high school students, college students, graduate students, well, really all students in general of whatever age, and even in upper age past graduation. The idea here is, how do we keep our hearts pure? How do we keep our way pure? Now, a lot of us would think that we are pure, naturally. We would think that, you know, we're good people at our hearts. But biblically, that's not true. And if you test your own heart, I think you'll see that, no, I'm not a good person. I am a sinner. This sermon is in particular for the believer. We will address the unbeliever here at the end. But this particularly is for the believer, the one who claims Christ as his God and Lord, the one who claims Christ as his Savior. So turn with me to Psalms 119, 9 through 16. And we read God's word says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up my word, or your word, in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, and I fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." Verse 25, if you go all the way down there, it says this: "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." So, what is the answer here about how we can keep our way pure? If you are a believer, you probably know this already. The answer is quite clear: by guarding it according to God's word. How many of us will go days, weeks without reading God's word? This is God's love letter to us. This is God's instruction to us. This is God speaking directly to us and telling us what he would want us to hear and know. How many of us go days or even weeks without praying, without talking to God? I don't think so. I don't think that that is healthy. That is only a way to be led into a snare. You need to fill your mind and your heart with God's word, and you need to fill your mouth with praise, and not just your mouth, your heart, with praise and worship and talking to your Father who cares for you. But we know that it's incredibly hard to keep a person's way pure, even for the Christian. It's hard to walk in purity. It's hard to walk in purity because the temptation of the flesh, the temptation of the devil, is very much present. So the scripture here offers us some practical information here about how we can keep our way pure. And you do what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil. You guard your way according to God's word. So firstly, we want to talk about God's word. And God's word, the Bible, the 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, is God's inspired word for you that can teach you all things pertaining to life and godliness. How often are we reading His Word? The Bible says, with my whole heart I seek you, seek God. Are we seeking God that way? Let me not wander from your commandments. So your commandments, His commandments, are found in God's Word. There are over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. There are well over 600 commandments in the Old Testament, not just 10, that we should live by. Now let me pause here. There are some that have been abrogated, such as Acts 10 abrogates the kosher law. We are not expected to obey the kosher law because there's a better law. There is a higher law. It was only for a certain time and a certain people. And the same thing applies in some ways to haircutting and clothes, etc. It was only for a certain time and a certain people. What we do find is that the moral law that God prescribes to us, the moral law that God prescribes to us in His Word, is our direction that we should fall back on. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, young person who's going into maybe the workforce or maybe going on to further study. Look back into your past of your scholarly pursuits and look, have you thought that if it were okay that you would lie? If it would get you through the next point or out of a certain situation, that you would lie? Have you perhaps given in to sexual immorality because, well, maybe you felt some pressure. Maybe you knew it was wrong. Maybe you knew that it was sin, but you chose to do it anyway. Maybe you've even fallen into theft at a certain point, or maybe even idolatry. Maybe you sought success as a means of propping yourself up. But I do want you to know what God's Word teaches in the book of Revelation, that one day you will throw your crown before God if you're in Christ. You're going to throw the crown that you are receiving before Him. All the rewards and all the accomplishments of this life will either be burnt up or they will be thrown before God. Because Jesus is the ultimate prize. He is the one to be obtained. You can be crowned with many crowns, and all of them should be before Jesus' feet, because He is the only one truly deserving of all honors and all glories. So let's not wander from God's commandments. Let's not wander from God's commandments. Let's go through the 10. Let's honor the Lord our God. Let's love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Those are the first two. Let's not steal. Let's not lie. Let's not lust. Let's not murder. And remember what Jesus says about murder. If you're angry with someone without cause, and yes, there are biblical and reasonable causes, but without cause, you're guilty of murder. You have murdered the person in your heart. Now, there are petty causes for anger. That is what probably is thought of here. By an unjust cause. Well, how do we keep our way pure? By following these commandments. You are not saved by following the commandments. Let me put that very clear. Because nobody can do it. Jesus did it perfectly. You can't and don't. Your salvation comes from trusting alone in Christ. Not your goodness, not your works. Not how well you can follow the law. You can't do it. And if you're a Christian, I believe you know that you cannot follow the law, that you are resting solely in God's grace. So we should beg for God, you know, in our prayer. If we're not praying, we should, to teach us His statutes. What does He require of us? What does His Word require of us? And we should delight in His testimonies as much as in all riches, as much as in all money. I'm sure that if your church is like many of the churches around here, and this is all well and good, and I'm not criticizing it. What I am saying is that when there's a graduate, there's a people of the church will give the graduates gifts of money normally. and have graduation parties where the graduates receive money. This is meant possibly to help a college, or is meant to show, you know, kindness, and that's not a bad thing. But you should delight in, and if you have received one of these, you know what I'm talking about. It's delightful to receive these gifts. It is. But you should delight in God more than all these monetary gifts. Do not create an idol of money. Yes, money is important. Money was important biblically in what we call the Bible days. It was very important. But, and as it is today, but do not make an idol of it. Honor the commandments of God. One of those is, do not worship money. Do not worship mammon. We should pray to God to keep our heart, keep our way pure from sin, because we know that we ourselves are weak. Meditate on His precepts. Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about what He says throughout the day. I know I'm guilty of not thinking as much on God and His Word as much as I should throughout the day. I know that. But as Christians, to keep our way pure, we should meditate on His precepts repeatedly throughout the day. Why not pray to Him repeatedly throughout the day? These two things together are critical in the Christian ethic, the Christian discipline. To cultivate your spirituality and keeping your way pure. We run into a lot of trouble when we forget God's commandments and when we forget to pray. We do. And I know that by this point, as a graduate, especially a Christian graduate, you know that. How many times have you run into trouble and stumbled over your own feet because you have not done what God has commanded of you in His Word, or you have not prayed? Asking God to let you not wander from His commandments. Asking God to help you to fix your eyes on Him and His ways. This is a valuable practice for every Christian, because God does honor those prayers. God does see this and honor those prayers. Now, wait a minute. What am I not saying? Keeping your way pure does not mean you'll have all the money and all the things. Far from it. What it means is that you will live in a way and walk in a way that will be honoring to God. I'm sure there will be temptations to lie when it suits you. I'm sure there will be temptations to be sexually immoral. And by this I mean any sexual act outside of marriage. Living together is a prominent thing in today's culture, even among those who confess Christ. And there are far many other sins that we are so easily ensnared by. But you start by keeping your way pure, by walking in purity, by obeying God's Word, by guarding your way according to God's Word. If you have a temptation, just as Jesus did with the devil, rebuke the temptation using the Word of God. Are you going to stumble? Yes, because we are not perfect. Unlike the Lord, we are not perfect. We're going to stumble, but that doesn't mean you slip and fall into it and stay in it. Now, here's the beauty of the gospel. Let me pause here before I move on to the next point and explain this. What if you're a Christian and you have slipped into impurity? Maybe you have done something impure, like such as we all have, lying, maybe hating, maybe committing sexual immorality. And sexual immorality is a broad umbrella term. which can include homosexuality, it can include sexual acts outside of marriage, it can include pornography, it can include a lot of different things. But perhaps you have slipped into that and you feel as though that you're now impure. Well, let me remind you of the gospel. The gospel is that all have fallen short of the honor and glory of God, and those who would call upon the name of the Lord in repentance and faith will be saved. Now, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you are going to be absolutely perfect. What it means is that you have an advocate with the Father, that you've been washed in the blood, that positionally you are pure. Maybe you slipped in sin as of late, and you've been so ashamed and not known how to get out of it. Maybe you've been stuck in a struggle, in a season of sinning. Why not let this be the day that you come back like the prodigal, that you come back to God in repentance and faith, lay down your sin, and ask for God's help to get you out of it. Don't go to God and make promises that, oh, I'll stop it. As if you had the power to do so on your own, or you would have already done it. Sin entangles. You need help from above to break the chains of your entanglement. So why am I taking a break here to mention the gospel of grace? Well, it's very simple. When you sin, if you have sinned, which we all have, by definition, that is impurity. But God is so rich in mercy and grace that when you are saved, you are pure. You are positionally pure. This is more of an admonition about keeping our way pure, our walk pure. You can't get saved and then go live like the devil, in other words. There are some people that say, well, I can go get saved and then do whatever I want to. Whatever sin, whatever malicious sin I want to, because God will forgive. That's not how it works. Someone that has that position believes in what the Christians did that Paul was correcting in the scripture somewhere. He said that should we sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. If someone has the position that I can sin all I want to because God will forgive me anyway, they have no understanding of what the gospel of grace truly is. Sin killed your best friend. And that's our second point. His heart. Our first point was his word. Store his word in your heart. But storing your word in, or his word in your heart, will reveal to you God's heart and will conform your heart to his. A heart that so loved you that he sent his own son to die for you because of your sin. Now don't think that God didn't love his son. He loved his son. God has existed in eternity past in a loving communal relationship. God loved his son. God loves his son. But God so loved the world that he gave his son so that those who repent and believe, trusting in him, would receive eternal life. That's the heart of grace. So this is a bit of a mixed point here. Number one, we keep our heart pure by listening to God's commandments. But secondarily, we need to meditate on his word, on his commandments, on his statutes. Store them in our heart so we may not sin against God. If you remember God's commandments against gossip, for example, when you're tempted to gossip, if you're in Christ, you'll have a sense that that is what you're doing. You will. And not always are you going to perfectly pass the test. Again, Jesus is the one that did that. But if you store up his word in your heart, eventually things will start coming to you. Scripture will start coming to you in your time of need, or in whatever time it is needed. You will be given a sense by God, a spiritual a spiritual experience by God, that when you need His word, when you need something from out of what you have stored up in your heart, God will allow you to remember. God will bring it to your mouth. After all, what else could it mean when He says, I will give you what you need to say. Take no thought of it. Take no thought of it, for when they question you, I will give you what you need in that hour. Meditate on His precepts, that it may be stored up in your heart. The Holy Spirit uses what we store up in the heart as His arrows. You want Him to have a full arsenal. Now, again, can God call you to remember things that you have not meditated on? Well, sure. But you need to store this up into your heart. Because not only will it help you, it'll allow you to help others. It'll allow you to help not only keep your own way pure, but allow you to help others keep their way pure. So when you slip into sin, and you realize that you've sinned, and you return to God, you turn from it, you repent of it, you are pure because you have been washed in God's blood. If you're a Christian, this is you, that's you positionally. God sees you as a son. How do you keep your way pure? God will restore you back. Keep your way pure. Now, you can damage your reputation. I'm not saying you can't do that. You can. You can damage your reputation, and then even when you realize that you've done something to damage it, God may not restore that reputation. But He can make your steps pure from that point on. He can, if you meditate on His precepts and guide your walk according to His commandments. Why else do you think that the model for law in Western civilization is based on the Bible and its precepts, and why it's worked? Why morality in general seems to be predicated on Scripture? It's because it works. If God designed the entire world and the entire universe, it just makes sense that God's law and God's word would work, functionally would work, and that everything else would fall apart. It seems that Scripture is playing by God's rules. And finally, we talked about God's word and how it's effective to us, it's a sweet savor to us, it is our daily bread. We talked about how we should store it in our heart to help us keep our way pure, so that we would know the right way to go. And finally, we focus on our own mouth, or our own lips. What does the Bible say? With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. It's not just enough to know His word in your heart. It seems that once you do know His word, you will speak His word. Listen to what this says. Remember when I read 25 through 32? When I read that part, He constantly talked about two things. His soul clings to the dust, and He said, give me life according to your word. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand your precepts. I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways afar from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So that's it right there. His word enlarges our heart. And when our heart is enlarged to the point with His words and with love for God, with steadfast love for God, you will begin to speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you love God, you will begin to speak His commandments, to speak of grace, to speak of His wonderful works, because they are wonderful. Those are some of the things you will begin to do. And you're enabled to do so in Christ Jesus. So, also, there's a secondary point here. how do we keep our way pure? How do we keep our way pure? Well, we speak the truth. We declare the rules of his mouth. We declare those things that are godly and true and biblical. If we keep our speech pure, we're not going around lying and gossiping and everything else, although we fall into the snare. We don't speak obscenities and profanities and vulgar jokes and the like. We keep our mouths pure. Remember what Scripture says about the tongue. The one who doesn't bridle his tongue, the one who cannot bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless. So now I want to address the unbeliever. The unbeliever that might be graduating, and you perhaps think that you have achieved a lot in your life, and you might have. But what's it all been worth? You've climbed to the highest peak of the highest mountain. You have maybe you won that degree that you have been dreaming about for decades. Maybe you have achieved that milestone. You're 18 and you have the world before you, and you are ready to go and live your life as an adult. But what's it all been worth up to this point if you don't have God? Truly nothing. If you're being honest, everything is worth absolutely nothing. If God doesn't exist, then everything is worth absolutely nothing, and the only thing you can do that's reasonable is live for sheer pleasure. But also, if you understand that hedonism, which is living for sheer pleasure, if you think about hedonism for more than 2 minutes, you'll probably come to understand that hedonism gives birth to a lot of evil. How can that be so if hedonism is the most rational, logical way? It can't be. So I will submit to you that if you do not know God, if you're not in Christ, your achievements up to this far mean absolutely nothing. And I'm not trying to be harsh. What I am trying to submit to you is that ultimately, every award you have ever won, everything that you have ever won, every treasure you've ever had, every bit of money you've ever had, will eventually rust and burn. Eventually. Your body will be buried. And then there'll be somebody else. Somebody else who's coming along to do the exact same thing you're doing. We spend our lives and pour out our lives for trinkets. For trinkets that ultimately have no value. And if you are not a believer, you have to understand that. That if God is not true, or if Christ is not raised, then there is nothing in your life that ultimately matters. Nothing. Because you know for a fact that you've broken God's law, that you yourself are not a good person. Just like me, you're not a good person. You've lied, you've cheated, you've stolen, you've lusted, you've been angry, you've blasphemed God, you've broken every commandment. Probably, if you're like me, 100 times over. The Bible says if you're guilty of breaking one, guess what? You're guilty of breaking all. So this is my encouragement to you. The Bible also says you confess him with your mouth. If you would repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone to pay for your sins on that cross, you believe that he died on that cross, raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures, the Bible says that you will be saved. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You will be saved. As you're graduating, or if you've already graduated, I want you to consider, well, where do you go from here? And if you're like me, you have to know that inevitably, all steps in this life lead to the grave. All of them do. Every step that we take towards the grave can be gold-plated. They can be pleasant. They can be difficult. But what have you done to prepare for that final step? What have you done? By graduating high school or college, what have you done to prepare for that? If you're not in Christ, the best you can hope for is a nice funeral. But there's an even worse reality for you afterwards. And the Bible, as the Bible promises, that you can be saved easily, very easily, by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance of your sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus. The Bible is also equally clear about the reality of hell for unbelievers. The Bible is very clear that God is a just God who has to punish sin. And the way he does that is an eternity in hell. It is my prayer for you, my hope for you, that you would receive Christ today, be saved. The Bible speaks of there being a celebration in heaven every time that someone gets saved. I can think of no better occasion than today. And if that so happens to be your graduation, why not make it your graduation, a spiritual graduation as well? A graduation where you're brought from death to life. A graduation party that is joined on your guest list, the angels in heaven who are rejoicing over your soul. It's my prayer for you that today that you yourself would ask, how can you keep your way pure? And that you would answer that with following after Christ.